There's a story you can chase up from 30 years ago, Danny.
It's like a beauty. Laurie, I want to know what you want to talk to the locals about in France.
What beer we were drinking.
Ah, right, okay. Yeah.
And food, Danny, you know, what we could order on our plates.
All the cultured stuff.
Well, you could have probably learned that from a menu.
Probably, or just pointed to it. I think people used to look at when they'd serve food and go to the waiter, that's what we want. That's what we want.
Frit.
Yeah, but you're over it by the time you got to France, but they were good old days. They were good old days. Certainly couldn't get away with it now.
No, not a chance.
What's the wash up from the grand final, mate? The Storm were just too good.
Look, not many people like the Melbourne Storm, but you've got to admire them, don't you? You've got to admire what a club they are, what a machine they are. They just really made it their own grand final, didn't they? And I have to say, it was one of the more boring grand finals I've seen. It was only a contest in the last, 5 or 10 minutes or so, and that's when it got exciting. And unfortunately, the rest of the time, the Storm were just way too good. They made their own luck. I think they did get a lot of luck, but they made their own luck. And they are a club and a team. You've just got to sit back and admire Craig Bellamy, what he's done there. Cameron Smith, the way he guides the team, and you can't help but praise the Melbourne Storm for the way that they are just so professional.
And Danny, what about the other side then? What did you make of the Panthers?
They blew it. I really thought they had their opportunities early on. I don't know if you guys were at the ground, but you could just see big opportunities. The Melbourne defence was shot to pieces on 3 or 4 occasions. You get a better perspective sometimes when you're at the ground about how big the opportunities were. And they had chance after chance, the Panthers. And I do think they got a case of stage fright. I think they got, whilst they were jovial in their approach and looked relaxed, I think it hit them when they got out there. The players who didn't make errors all season were making errors, and repeatedly. And I think they'll learn from that, because I think they'll really be around for not just 1 or 2 years, but I think for 3 or 4 or maybe 5 years, where they can really make a push for a title and repeat titles, because they should have won that game. If they would have played anywhere near to their standard, I think they could have beaten Melbourne.
Just on that then, Danny, you said that Penrith had plenty of opportunities in that first half, which they did, and it was Melbourne's scramble defence that kept them in the contest. What have you made of the criticism of Gus Gould's commentary of the grand final?
I was at the game, so I saw Twitter blowing up at Gus, and then Buzz having a crack at Gus in his column, and that's predictable from Buzz. He doesn't like Gus. So I went back and watched it, and I actually thought it, I didn't see that much in it. I knew what Gus was saying, that Penrith, were in the game because they were creating opportunities, but they just weren't taking advantage of them. And as I said before, Melbourne got the luck, but they did make their own luck. So I'll get bagged for saying, oh, because Gus is a colleague of mine and I know him well, so I'm not bagging him for that reason. Well, no, I didn't think it was that bad. And the role of a commentator, an expert commentator, and someone who's been in the game for as long as Gus has, and as long as Laurie has, and as long as you have, Michael, is you create, you have your opinion, and if you're, I guess you're making a mark in on the game or on the sport if your opinion resonates or affects people, and Gus has certainly did. You don't have to agree with him, but he's in a position where he's certainly entitled to an opinion, given that he coached that club to their first premiership. He played a huge role in creating the pathways at Penrith, which brought that team to light. And I think he gave Melbourne their due respect. And Melbourne, let me say, they deserve their respect, because I think that Penrith, that was a game for them to win, and they blew it.
Poor old Nathan Cleary. Second half he came to life, but the game was probably all over. But it wasn't the game we were expecting from Nathan. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I unfortunately, I think it was the least composed he's been all year. I think he got rattled, and I think that pass he threw was probably summed up his game. That, you know, there was an opportunity there, and it just it didn't come off. I spoke to him after the game, and he said he'd do that same thing again, which is very much the James Maloney approach, isn't it? Like, he probably learned from Jimmy, you've got to take the chances when you see them, and just didn't come off. And unfortunately for Nathan, it was in a grand final. But I have to say, he's a classy young bloke. After the game, the Melbourne Storm did their media conference, and then they brought out a bunch of players again to speak to the media. And Nathan and Jerome Luai were waiting their chance to, you know, come and speak. They didn't want to, obviously, but they felt that it was their obligation. And they came in a couple of times, and they saw the Melbourne boys speaking, and they left the room, and they just kept, you know, they really didn't have to do what they did for the media, but they did it, and it showed that Nathan in particular, who had a game he probably want to forget, showed tremendous class, and it shows what he's made of, and that's why I think, well, one of the many reasons why I think he'll be back, and he won't play a game like that again in a big game or a grand final.
Denny, what about this morning? We read Kyle Flanagan's just signed a 3-year deal with the Bulldogs. Good signing from them.
Look, I think it's I think Kyle's a very good player, and I think he'll learn from what took place at the Roosters. They're a tough club, the Roosters, aren't they? They miss where they want to be, the grand final, and so they make a big change. They change their halfback, and it's tough on a young bloke. But I think he will do well. Look, I think Trent Barrett will develop him as a player in a big way. I think obviously Kyle was learning under Trent Robinson, but Barrett has worked absolute wonders for Cleary's game. And I know he didn't have it in the grand final, but throughout the season he was terrific. And Jerome Luai's and Penrith's attack. And Barrett did a very good job there. And I think as a pure halves coach and as a football coach, Trent Barrett will do very well with Kyle Flanagan. He's got, you know, he can get better. He can get physically stronger. I think he can be more dominant as he goes forward. But you've got to remember, this was his first full year, and I think he did a pretty reasonable job. I'd give Kyle Flanagan probably a 7 out of 10 for his season. But the Roosters obviously want 8.5 from their halfback, and that's what I guess Barrett's got to make him into, that sort of player.
Denny, I didn't pick this up on the night, but it was we released yesterday in regard to what Cameron Smith had to say to the referee towards the end of the game. Do you believe he should have received any penalties for his comments to the referee?
Well, Cameron can do what he wants. Cameron, he didn't have the whistle in his hand, but he might as well have. That's how he's played his career. He can. I honestly think he can get away with more than other players. He said, when it was the sin binning of Hughes, he said to the referee, I'm paraphrasing him, but basically you want the game, I understand you want the game to be exciting, but, you know, let's be fair to interview. Like, so he was questioning the decision, saying that, he felt it was like, without using the word a square upper or an evener upper, he didn't say that, but that was the implication. I'm surprised that he got away with it. I'm really surprised. It's Cameron Smith. Maybe that's why he got away with it. I spoke to the NRL about it yesterday, and they said it was because it was in the heat of the moment. It wasn't calculated, or it wasn't at a press conference later on when someone had time to cool down, like Ivan Cleary got in trouble for implying a game was being managed. Smith did the same thing in a way. But because it happened on the field, they figured that's fine. There's no drama. And the NRL's view is that if they penalise or fine players or ban players every time they questioned a referee's decision in that manner, there'd be no one left playing. So that's their way out of it. I think he's got away with one, but it's not the first time that referee Smith gets away with one, and good luck to him.
Do you reckon if Ivan had his time over again, he may have looked to have started Brent Naden and kept Tyrone May on the bench?
Yeah, what do you think? I mean, Laurie, I think it was...
After the fact, yes. But given what May did the previous week, I can understand why he started. He's certainly a better attacking player than Tyrone May, Brent Naden.
May, it was a defensive decision, wasn't it? It was a conservative decision. And I think Penrith have been anything but conservative this year. I'm not taking away from Tyrone May. He's a very skillful player, and he probably is a better defender than Naden. But May didn't have a good game, unfortunately, and he was part of that miss on Pappenhausen from memory, wasn't he? Like, Pappenhausen just ran in between he and Cleary, and you know, I think it was an error, but I'm not the coach. Laurie, you're much more, your opinion matters much more in this area than mine. Do you think it was a mistake?
I think after what he did the previous week, I probably would have lent towards May. But having said that, I would have kept Naden in the side, as in I would have played him against South Sydney the previous week. But I can understand why, because he did come up with some poor reads against the Roosters. And South Sydney's left-edge attack is very, very good, as is Melbourne. So I get where Ivan's coming from.
Yeah. Yeah, I can understand the thinking behind it, but I don't think it worked.
No, there you go. Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah. What about the Roosters and South, the hatred for each other going to be a little bit more tense, given it looks as though Joseph Suwali may be heading to the Roosters?
Yeah, look, definitely. A couple of weeks back, I wrote in my column that Joseph Suwali had stopped following the Rabbitohs on Instagram and decided to follow the Roosters, or is following the Roosters. And in this day and age, Pup, you're an Instagram expert. That's a sure sign that something's going on, isn't it? I mean, look, if you're dropping the Rabbitohs out of there and you've got the Roosters in there still, obviously the Roosters are the club now that he's favouring. It's, I guess, a younger person's way of telling the world what they think. And yes, the Roosters are in the process of making room to try and secure Suwali. Obviously, I think Kyle Flanagan is a part of that, but they've got issues. They've got to secure the Morrises. They haven't announced them as re-signing yet. Jake Friend, I think he's got a deal there, but they haven't registered that either. So they're in a bit of a bind, and they also want to get Suwali. So I think the Roosters are going to have to lose another player or two, maybe someone of significance. The name that keeps on coming up is Angus Crichton. He's on big money, but I thought he was one of the Roosters' best forwards.
He did play well towards the end of the year, didn't he?
He was fantastic. He's been criticised for his defence, but his defence was unbelievable and tough. And he forced his way back into the Origin team. So, yeah, I don't know what they're going to do to the Roosters, but they definitely want Suwali, and they're up. South Sydney don't want Suwali playing for the Roosters, so it's going to be another good battle between the clubs.
Just lastly, Daddy, just reading the TV ratings are out as well. So 2.97 million watched the grand final on Channel 9. That's up from 2.64 million last year. Gee, look at the AFL number, though, 3.812 million. That's quite a way behind the NRL figure, even though it's up from last year. What do you make of it?
I don't understand all the ratings stuff, but that sounds pretty good, like if it's up from last year. But yeah, the AFL, that was their first night grand final, wasn't it, from memory? So it was always going to rate through the roof. Those figures sound pretty good to me. It's up from 10 or 12% or whatever it is. I think the NRL have to be reasonably happy with that. And I guess the figure in Melbourne was particularly good, but I guess everyone in Melbourne, they're all locked down, or they were all locked down. So they even had to force themselves to watch rugby league, the poor thing.
They were watching too. You only had to, as he mentioned before, to see him very vocal on Twitter, to say the least.
Danny, I want to ask you, have you heard any more about what Craig Bellamy is going to do?
Only what we're hearing before. I really find it hard to see him going against Melbourne. Look, I know there's this supposed offer, you know, where he'll own half of Brisbane if he goes up there. But I just think he's been so invested with the Storm, and in a lot of ways, obviously Cameron as well. Like they are the pillars of that club, and to go against that club would be massive, particularly what he's built there. So it'd be a huge call if he joined Brisbane, but you know, in the end, money talks, and he wants to move back up there apparently. So, if I was Melbourne, I'd be making sure that he was part of anything that goes forward.
Well, the train moves to Adelaide now for Origin 1, Denny, and we're looking forward to it. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.